Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Kamma, Daf Mem Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom. Tan Rabbanan, the pasuk says, "Vehemus isha isha," that if a muad kills a man or a woman, Amar Rabbi Kiva, "Vehima Bazel Lamdenu," what is this pasuk coming to teach us? If you will suggest, "Lechayev." That the chayiv to pay kaifer is not only when a mu'ud kills a man, but also when a mu'ud kills a woman. The pasuk already says kigach shor es ish or es isha. So we already know that the Torah gives a man and a woman the same din. Ella says the Gemara, the purpose of the pasuk is lahakish isha l'ish, to compare a woman to a man. Ma ish mezakav liyarshav, just like when a man passes away, the payment for nezakin, if he's no longer here, go to his yarshim. Af isha nezaka liyarsheha. Here too, the pasuk teaches us that the nezikin, the kaifer payment, does not go to the husband, but rather the kaifer payment goes to the yarshim of the woman, her family. Ask the Gemara, v'sav Rabbi Kiva layoros labal, does Rabbi Kiva hold that a husband doesn't inherit a wife, as this pasuk seems to imply? Because this pasuk seems to say that her yarshim get the kaifer, not her husband. Ask the Rashba, on the contrary, isn't this pasuk a proof that he does yarshin her? Because the fact that the Torah had to go out of the way to say that the husband doesn't get the kaifer seems to indicate that in every other situation he will yarshin her. And the Rashba says that actually the Gemara could have gone with this approach, but the Gemara says the Rashba takes a different approach, because the Gemara is trying to explain that even according to the Man D'Omer, that a husband yarshins a wife, kaifer is different. Ask the Gemara again, v'savar Rabbi Kiva layorish labal, that a husband doesn't yarshin a wife, v'tanya v'yorish oisa, that a husband is his wife's yorish, mikan shabal yorish es ishtoi divi Rabbi Kiva. So why does he not yarshin the kaifer? The Shita asks, why do we need a pasuk? Following up the Rashba's question, why do we need a pasuk to teach us that the husband yarshins the wife? Shouldn't this pasuk that teaches us that kaifer, as we're going to learn soon why, is an exception to the rule, and kaifer, a husband, doesn't yarshin, isn't that an indication that everything else the husband does yarshin? So the Shita answers, kaifer comes from nezikin, from the woman being damaged. That's a unique situation, that something happened to the woman, and we can't use kaifer as a model for other hilchos yerusha where the woman owned something. Is the husband entitled to receive the yerusha of those items or not? Amar Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish explains, when the Torah says that a husband doesn't yarshin, he means strictly regarding kaifer. Since the kaifer payment is only paid after her death, havle roy, so it's considered like a prospective asset. And the husband is not entitled to take roy as he is entitled to take muksik, which means as follows. We're going to learn later in our shiur today in Mitzvah Shem that we know that the Torah says that a bechor is entitled to pishnayim, to a double portion of the inheritance. However, the Torah says that he's only entitled to what the father left when he passed away. What he was supposed to receive, prospective assets, he doesn't get pishnayim. Similarly, says the Gemara, that the husband is only entitled to what the wife has b'shas she was alive, while she was alive. This that came afterwards is not something that the husband is at all entitled to. And actually, there's a machloikas achroinim, how to understand this, what the Gemara says, that koifer is different than everything else. Is it to understand that the Torah directly gave the koifer payment to Yarshim, meaning as follows, that since koifer, by definition, can only be paid after a person passes away, because that's the payment of koifer, that the muad killed a person, so therefore the koifer payment is only is originally only entitled to be paid to the Yarshim. That's the opinion of the Miches Chinuch, Dor Sumeach. Reb Chaim and the Chazon Ish ever explain that koifer should be viewed like everything else. That koifer should be viewed that it really belongs to the woman who was killed by the muad. Just since it's a payment that will only be paid after she passes away, because that is the definition of koifer, the ribbah, therefore, the Torah gave it over to her Yarshim. What would be a nafgamina between these two approaches? What would be the halach if this woman had a debt that she owed? If we say, like the Miches Chinuch and the Aruch Sameach, that this is money that's really entitled to her Yarshim and not to her, there's no obligation to use this money to pay off her debts. If, however, we follow the opinion of Reb Chaim the Chazon Ish, that this is really money that's hers, but it's money that's hers that she can only collect after she passes away, and therefore the husband doesn't receive it, so then the halacha would be that this is her money and would have to be used to pay out debts that she incurred. My Tama, what is the reason that koifer is only paid after the person dies? Amakra, the pasuk says, "V'heimish ish a isha hashar yisako v'gam balav yumas im koifer yushasalov." Explain. So just like the axe is only put to death after the victim dies, so too is koifer only paid after the victim dies. Why is the axe only put to death after the victim dies? Explain the Mefarshim. Because whereas a koifer payment could be paid before the victim dies, and if it turns out that Baruch Hashem the victim doesn't die, we will return the koifer payment. If we kill the shor and then the victim Baruch Hashem doesn't die, we can't reverse that. Furthermore, the Torah always compares the halacha of a person to the putting the death of a person to the putting the death of an axe. If a person is kills someone else, the ritzeach is only put to death after the victim Rachmana Litzlan dies. Similarly, by the axe is only put to death after its victim dies. And now that the Torah compares the payment of koifer to the payment to the din of the axe being put to death, the halacha would be that koifer also is only paid after the death of the victim. And as Rashi explains, the halacha of payment of koifer is linked to the halacha of the chiv misa of the axe. And the chiv of isa of an axe is compared to the chiv misa of a ritzeach. Ask the Rishash that if that's the case, that we've linked all these dinim, the halacha is there's an application. We're going to learn the Gemara that there are an opinion that chiv koifer even exists, even if an axe killed shloi b'kavona, but chiv misa of killing the axe doesn't exist if the animal killed shloi b'kavona and killed unintentionally. So how can we say that koifer and the chiv mitzvah of the axe travel together, we see from the Gemara Daf Mem Gimel that they don't travel together. Answers the base Aaron that what the Gemara means to link is only the definition of death. The definition of death is actual death, and therefore kaifer is only paid after the actual death. But the Gemara's intention is not to completely link chiv kaifer to chiv misa and to say that they completely travel together. The Merit explains that our Gemara's discussion that the chiv kaifer is only after the death of the victim is only according to the opinion that we learned the Machloikas Tanom, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, that how do we assess the Chiv Kaifer? The May Masik or the May Nizik? Says the Marit, that our Gemara is only going according to the Manda Omer that holds that Kaifer is the May Masik. And therefore, even though the person passed away, you still could pay Kaifer, you could evaluate the value of the Masik. However, if we're going to say that the valuation of Kaifer is according to the Demei Nizik, says the Marit, that certainly we cannot say that Kaifer, the obligation only becomes after the death, because after the death, the Nizik is no longer alive. And, points out the Marit, the Al Gemara is very consistent, because who is the Mandam of Al Gemara that's teaching that Kaifer is only paid after death? It's Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva is the man the Omer that holds that when we evaluate the value of the Kaifer, we have to go with the Demei Masik. The Mefarshim point out that the Marit is a little difficult to understand because the Rambam paskins that the evaluation of Kaifer is with the Demei Nizik, and yet the Rambam also paskins that Kaifer is only paid after death. There's also another question that the Rishayim discuss, that even though we're saying that the obligation of Kaifer is after death, what would be the halacha if the Kaifer were paid prior to the death of the victim, of the, in our case, of the woman? Would the husband be entitled to that payment? Say to Rishonim that even if the Mazik, the owner of the Shor HaMu'ud, decided to pay the Kaifer prior to the death of the wife, that would still not change the category of Kaifer being Roy, being something that's only payable after death. And since it's something that's only payable after death, only the wife, only the Yarshim of the wife would get it, and not the husband. He compares it, the Paiskim compare it to the situation that we know the halach is, that a pinyan aben is done after the child is 30 days old. But what would be the halach if somebody was very anxious and paid the Kayin, the Pinyan HaBen, for the Pinyan HaBen prior to 30 days? That doesn't change that it's considered a valid Pinyan HaBen. Here too, this is considered a regular Kaifa payment, even though it was paid before the wife died, and it goes to her Yarshim, not to her husband. Actually, this discussion that we're having in our Gemara has relevance to a number of shailas that should hopefully not come up. One question that I saw that the Meches Yitzchak discusses is he discusses a situation where somebody was killed in an airplane accident while going on a work assignment, and therefore his place of work decided to give his family compensation payments. And the question is, do the Helchus Yerusha apply to these payments? Do we say that it's considered like Yerusha, and therefore if the person that died was a woman, as we're learning, a wife, a husband, as we're learning, Yashin's a wife, or do we say that since it's a situation that it's being paid only after death, the halach is that it should be paid to the Yashim, it doesn't have the din of Yerusha. The Meches Yitzchak clearly says that this does not follow the regular Hilchus Yerusha, and that the halacha here is that the family divides it, as is either the intention of the employer how he wanted that this should be paid, or the Paiskim suggest that if we don't have a clear intention from the employer what he meant, how this should be paid, we should follow whatever is the Minig HaMedina. In fact, the Michel Shifcha goes on to say that let's say this person, this victim, Rachman Slan, had left a tzavo that said that 10% of anything that he leaves over should be given to tzedakah. The tzedakah would not be entitled to 10% of this payment, because this payment is not included in the Yerusha payments. A similar question comes up that let's say a woman had a life insurance policy that she took out for herself. A wife had a life insurance policy. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, since by definition a life insurance policy is only paid after the death of this person, so it's not considered something that the husband is entitled to, even though the husband is entitled to all other aspects of Yerusha. Ask the Gemara, Ubenezokin Lo'am Rabbi Kiva. But regarding the Zokim, did Rabbi Kiva not say that the husband doesn't inherit? For Tanya, Hika Seisha. If somebody struck a woman, for Yotzi Lada, and it caused her to miscarry, Nois and Nezek Tsar Lisha, Nezek and Tsar are given to the woman, for Demei Velodis Labal, and the value of the children are given to the husband. Tosfos points out that why doesn't our Gemara refer to what is the din regarding to the ripui v'sheves? So Tosfos says that there really isn't much ripui involved. There isn't really much doctor bill involved in a woman miscarrying, Rechman Otzlan. And regarding sheves, Tosfos says a very big chiddush. Tosfos says that since if the woman would have had the children, Baruch Hashem, she would have not been able to go to work. So not the fact that she has this sheves because of the miscarriage, there is no special sheves payment. What about the boishes payment that it seems that is not mentioned in this brisa? So some Rishonim suggest that this brisa follows the opinion that if there was no intention to be mazik, there is no boishes payment. So since this man had no intention to cause this miscarriage, there is no boishes payment. Others say that there's a machloikis, who would get the boishes payment, how much, or maybe it's divided between the husband and the wife, and the braisa wants to avoid getting involved in any machloikis. Ain't about, if the husband is not alive, when it comes to pay for the demei velodis, nois and liyarshav, the payment should be paid to his yarshim. Eino isha, if the woman is not alive, noisin liyarsheha, we pay the payment, the nezek, to the yarshim. So from here we see that not only is kaifer not paid to the husband, but also, or to his yarshim, but so are nezokim not paid to the husband or to his yarshim. Continues the braisa, hoisa shifcha v'nishtachra, if she was a woman who was originally a shifcha and then she got freed, or says the braisa, a giyaris, she was a giyaris. And the way Rashi and Tosfos explain, we're referring to a woman who was a shifcha or a giyaris who married a ger. The giyaris married a ger, or the shifcha married a meshuchrer, and what happened was that they died, that's usually who marries such a woman. Zacha. Then if she dies, both she and her husband died, so now there's no one to inherit her. And as the Rishonim explained, that's why the Braisa specifically spoke about this case, because every born Jew ultimately has a relative. But here we're talking about a Meshuchreris who married a Meshuchrer, a Geyaris who married a Ger. It was possible that they have no relatives. So the payment, the person who was supposed to pay it, keeps it. So we see from here that even by Nezokin, the husband doesn't get the payment. Amar Rabba, says Rabba, here we're referring to a grusha. The Gemara here is referring, the Braisa is referring to a grusha, and therefore the husband is not entitled to inherit her. The Kain Amar Rav Nachman, it's referring to a grusha, and the way Rashi explains that after the Chavola took place, they got divorced, and therefore he's not entitled to Yarshin her. There are other explanations that have the Chavola taking place prior to the divorce, but again, we're going to learn the Gemara that the Chavola took place prior to divorce, and afterwards they got the divorce, and therefore he is not entitled to Yarshin her. Ask the Gemara, Amri, if it's referring to such a situation, Grusha Nami Tiflik Min Mevel Others, why, if they're divorced, doesn't she deserve a share of the Maid Velodis? And here we have a Machloikas Rishonim. The Rashba explains that if we're saying that divorce, if the Gemara is assuming that divorce affects the husband's rights to the Maid Velodis, because he's no longer a husband, that what the Gemara here says, Tiflik, it doesn't mean that the husband and wife should divide the Dmei Velodis, but rather, says the Rashba, what the Gemara means is that the wife should get the entire Dmei Velodis. And therefore the word Tiflik, says the Rashba, is actually imprecise. The Rash, however, says that the Girs of our Gemara of Tiflik, that the divide is correct, because he says as follows. Normally, we should say that a father and mother should be equally entitled to compensation for the death of the child, regardless of the current marital status. He says that why did the Torah say that the father gets the entire Dmei Velodis while the marriage is in force? Because the father is considered, says the Rash, the principal parent. What's the Raya? Because the Gemara says in Masechta Kedushin that if a father tells a child to do one thing and a mother tells the child to do another thing, when the parents are married, he should follow what his father says. Sha'ata ve'imcha chayovim b'kvayr avicha. But that's only, says the Rash, as long as the couple is married. Once they're divorced, the Gemara's suggestion is that they should divide the Dmei Velodis. Amra Papa, HaTaira Zuchsa Dmei Velodis Labal. The Taira gave a special rule that the Dmei Velodis go to the husband, Afila Bar Lebeznus. Even if they didn't get married, still, the Taira says that the Dmei Velodis belong to the husband. My Tama, what's the reason? Amra Kra, Kashi Yashis Labali Isha. That the husband, the Bali Isha, is entitled to Dmei Velodis. However, Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi that this rule that the husband is entitled to Dmei Velodis is only said by a couple who are allowed to live with each other. However, in a situation that it was a situation of Aveira, that this couple were not supposed to live with each other, somebody had relations with his mother, with his daughter, Rechman Otzlan, there the halacha would not be, says the Yerushalmi, that the husband is entitled to Dmei Velodis. Furthermore, I saw that the Mefarshim ask an interesting question. We're saying now that the husband is the one that's entitled to Dmei Velodis. And he can go to the person who caused this damage and say to him, you have to pay me the Dmei Velodis. Ask that flaw. We know throughout Halacha there's a din, Ein Holchem Imamen Acha Roiv. We don't follow Roiv. Yet how do we ever know, says that flaw, that someone's father is indeed his father, because we follow the Roiv, and we say Roiv be'ilos achrabal, that if a couple is Baruch Hashem married, we could safely assume that the husband is the father of this woman's children. But that's a Roiv. And regarding Dine Mamanis, we just said that ain't holch b'mamon achrabal. So can't the person who perpetrated the killing of these children, Rahman Slan, say to the father who's coming to collect, that what's the basis of you saying that you're the father? Aroiv. But I don't have to pay mammon. Ein holchem b'mammon acha aroiv. Says the flaw, a yusoid, a fundamental concept that's relevant in a lot of areas of halacha. He says this that even though ain holchem mamon acharoyf, we don't follow roiv as far as dini mamonis is concerned. Regarding issev heta, we just said we do follow roiv, and that's all we could assume, that a person's mother's husband is his father, because for issev heta we do follow roiv. Says Daflo, once we establish that this is the father, as far as hilchus issev heta are concerned, we can follow that rule. The halacha considers it that it's not just the roiv. That roiv creates a fact. That roiv creates a fact that this is indeed his father. And therefore, when it'll come to question a mominus, it will not be considered a situation that we're relying on roiv. But continue the mefarshim to ask, this answer only satisfies us if the couple was married. But what about in a situation where the couple wasn't married, and it's just that this man and woman say that this man says that this, I am the father of this of these veladas. Again, how can we believe him? Why do we believe him? Just because he says so? So the Mefarshim suggest that the only case that he would indeed be entitled to collect the May veladas if the parents weren't married would be in a situation where the children, where it's obvious, it has to be that this is the father, that the mother and that this woman and this man were secluded in an area where there was no one else, and it must be that this is the father of these children. Ask the Gemara, why do we have to explain the Braisa? That it's Grusha, there's another way of explaining the Braisa. V'nukma l'rabbi k'gon sh'gova mos, l'rav Nachman k'gon sh'gova karka. As we explained earlier, the halacha is that a husband is not entitled to collect what's roi, what's considered a prospective asset. The husband is only allowed to collect what's muchzik. Ask the Gemara that according to Rav Nachman, cash that's collected after the death is always considered roi. According to Rav Nachman, karka is always considered roi. Dama Rava, gova karka yesh loy. If a creditor's heirs collected the loan from real property, the halacha is that the bechor is entitled to a double portion, because real payment of property, since there was a lien on this property, it's considered that it was already in the possession of the father while he was alive, and therefore it's not considered roi, it's considered muchzik. Gova mos, but let's say they collected cash to pay as payment for money that was owed to the father. The cash is considered roi, because it's not the same cash that the father had lent. Rav Nachman holds just the opposite. Gova mos yesh loy. Cash he considers is muchzik, because the father lent cash, and now they're receiving cash. And even though it's not exactly the exact same dollar bill, cash is cash. But Rav Nachman holds, gov karka, since the father never had possession of this property that is being collected to satisfy a debt that he had lent money, so that's considered roi, that the son is not, the bechor is not considered entitled to double payment. But ask the Gemara, no matter how we follow, whether we follow the opinion of Nachman or whether we follow the opinion of Rabbah, we have a way of creating that this payment was paid beroi, and that's why the husband is not entitled to receive it. Why do we have to explain that the Brice is referring to a case of Grusha? Amra answers the Gemara, Hani meili libnei marova livid rabbonon. This explanation that cash or karka are considered roi, each according to the man d'omer, is only according to the rabbonim. However, Rebbe disagrees, because Rebbe says, what would be the halacha, Gemara Masechta Baba Basra, that if a father dies and he left the field, and between the time of his death and the division of the estate, the field appreciates, not because of any investment that the Yorshim put into the field, just it appreciated because it went up in value. So Rebbe says that it's not considered roi, and the son, the bechor, gets pishnaim, gets a double portion. We're following the opinion of Rebbe that Rebbe considers outstanding debts always to be considered muchzik, no matter how they're collected, whether they're collected from cash or from karka, and that's why the Gemara cannot offer this teretz. And as the Rishonim point out, since the halacha, Rashi says, since the halacha follows the opinion of Rebbe, the Gemara wanted to give a teretz in explaining the brisa that follows the opinion of Rebbe. Amar of Shim Belokish, Shar Shahemis is Evid Shleba Kavana. If a Shar killed an Evid unintentionally, Potem Shloshim Shkolim. There is no Chiyiv to pay Shloshim Shkolim. Shnema, Kesav Shloshim Shkolim, Yitin La Adonav Vashar Yisokal. Kazman Shashar Beskila, when the Shar is supposed to be killed, Habalim Mishalim Shloshim Shkolim, Ain a Shar Beskila, but if the Shar is not Mechuyiv to be killed because he killed unintentionally, Ain a Balim Mishalim Shloshim Shkolim, you don't have to pay Shloshim Shkolim. Amar Rabbah, Rabbi says a similar halacha. Shar Shemus ben Chayim Shleib Kavana. If a Shar killed a person, Shleib Kavana, part of the Kaifer. The Kaifer payment doesn't have to be paid. Shinema, Hashar Yisakil, the Gam Ba'al of Yumas, Im Kaifer Yushasalaf. Kazman Shashar Beskila, if the Shar is Mechuyiv Skila, Ba'alim Mishalim Kaifer, Ein Hashar Beskila, if the Shar is not put to death, Ein Ba'alim Mishalim Kaifer. And the Mefarshim explain the why. Did Rabbi say his din regarding Kaifer? And Rish Lakish said his din regarding Shloshim Shleved. If they both hold that the payment is connected to the death of the Shar, shouldn't they both have said the same halacha in both cases? So Mefarshim explained that Rish Lakish said his din strictly regarding Shloshim Shleved. And Rabbi said his din strictly regarding Kaifer. What is the basis of the machlokes? Because by the shloshim shleved, the wording of the pasuk is kesef shloshim shkolim yitain ladonov vashar yisokel. The Torah speaks about the payment and then about the death of the shar. By kaifer, the wording is just the opposite. Hashar yisokel. First, the Torah speaks about the killing of the shar. Vegam ba'al of yumas, which means kaifer. So one of the psukim, each one of these mandamrim suggests, is the pasuk that's out of order. Rish Lakish holds that the pasuk should have mentioned Mises Ashar and afterwards the payment, as it says by Kaifer. The fact that the Torah says differently by the Shloshim Shel Eved and first speaks about the payment, that says Rish Lakish is a proof that only if the Shor is put to death is Shloshim paid, if not. Rava holds just the opposite, that the Torah really should mention first the din of payment and then the din of the Shar being put to death, as indeed the Torah does say it that way regarding the Shloshim Shleved. It's only by Kaifer that the Torah changed the proper order, and that's why only by Kaifer does Rava hold this din applies, not by Shloshim Shleved. Esvei Abaya asks Abaya from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hey, Mishari is Pliny. If somebody says my shor killed so and so, I shor is Pliny. Or he says my axe killed so and so's axe, I raise a mishal piatzmai. He has to pay on his own admission. The animal will not be put to death because it's a situation of moida beknas. That the halach is that the animal is not put to death." And yet we see that you have to pay. Says the Gemara, loy. It's referring to domim. What we're saying is that kaifer indeed would not be paid. What we're referring to here is paying the damages that the victim suffered. And as the Rishonim point out, there's some very significant differences between kaifer and domim. One nafkamina is that kaifer, the halacha is that one owes kaifer. If he doesn't have the funds to pay kaifer, he has to collect money to pay the kaifer. Knas, on the other hand, damim, on the other hand, is a chayv. And if one doesn't have the ability to pay his chayiv, he doesn't have to collect tzedakah to pay his chayiv. Another nafkamina is, can one be meichel the payment? If the payment is for kaifer, you can't be meichel that payment, because the person needs the kapara. If, on the other hand, it's payment for domim, it can be nimchel. Another nafkamina is if there's a safik. Kaifer would have to be paid by a safik. Domim are not paid by a safik. And then one more nafkamina that I saw that the Ravid suggests, a very big chiddush. The Ravid says, we know that the Torah speaks about two different concepts. The Torah speaks about a concept called domim, value, and the Torah speaks about erchin. Erchin, as we've said many times, is that every person in the Torah, every person, based on their age and on their gender, the Torah assigns a specific value. Says the Ravid, when it comes to domim, we go according to value, which means we evaluate how much this person would be worth as a slave. However, when it comes to kofer payment, the evaluation is based on the erchin values that are assigned in the Torah. Idomim asked the Gemara, if we're going to say that the Mishnah is referring to domim, not to kofer, Ema Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Sefer says, Hey Misharis Avdei Shaploni, Eina Mishalma Piatzmai. But if he says that he killed somebody else's Eved, he doesn't have to pay. Now, if we're saying it's talking about Shloshim Shaleved, we could understand, because it's a Knas, and you don't have to pay it. But if it's talking about Domim, Amai Loi, why wouldn't he have to pay it? Amalei. So, Rav says to Abaya, Yecholne L'shnu Yelach, I could possibly answer you that the Reisha is referring to the Domim, and that's why he has to pay it. The Sefer is referring to Knas, and that's why Moed b'knas is potter, and he doesn't have to pay it. I don't want to give you a difficult answer, and I will explain to you idi v'domim, that both the Reisha and the Sefer are referring to domim. Miu ben chayrim the mishalm kofer pa'atzmai, kofer which is paid when a person was killed by muad, and kofer, as the Gemara is going to explain, at certain times is paid even by a person's own admission. Therefore, veichidami, exactly what is the case? Di osusadi v'sida bei dekotel. If witnesses come and testify that the axe killed a person and is liable to death. However, v'loyadi itamho imurhava, the edim who are saying this testimony don't know if the axe was a tam where there's no kaifer payment, or a muad where there is a kaifer payment. V'amar mari, and it's the owner who comes and says the muad haver, that the animal was a muad. The mishalm kaifer pa'atzmai. There he would pay kaifer by himself, because kaifer is not a fine which we assess based on one's own admission. Because the only reason kaifer is not paid when the owner admits that his axe killed, is because it's contingent on the execution of the axe. And since if one admits that it was his axe that killed, it's a might of a knas, therefore kaifer is not paid. But in this case, where the axe will be killed, because even if the axe is a tam, it doesn't make a difference if the edim know if the axe was a tam or a muad. The axe, as we've been learning, that kills a person always has to be killed. So therefore, if the owner admits that he's obligated to pay kaifer, even if the owner admits that the axe was a muad, he would have to pay kaifer. Heichad leka edim. So therefore, in a case where there are no witnesses at all, and the axe is not killed, and the kofer is not paid, that's when you mishalm dovin. However, gabi eved she'en mishalm knas al piatzmai, the shloshim shel eved, you never pay that fine based on one's own admission. Heichidami, what does that mean? Di asusadi v'sida bei dekotel, because witnesses come and say that this axe killed an eved. V'loyadi itam havi mu'ud hava. And again, we don't know if this, if the axe was a tam or mu'ud. V'amamari mu'ud hava. And the owner is the one that says that it was a mu'ud. Loy misham knas v'pi atzmai. We won't pay the knas. Why? Because the axe won't ever, because the axe, even though the axe is killed, because somebody who admits to a fine is exempt from paying it. Hech deleka edim, in a case where there are no edim, loy mishalim domim, we don't have to pay damages either. So obviously we need to understand this. Why is the fact that the owner doesn't have to pay a fine for the killing of a slave exempt him from paying damages, which is not a fine? Explain the Or Sameach. We're used to understanding that Maidav Knas's Potter is some sort of a special Potter. Says the Or Sameach, that's not the way to understand Maidav Knas. Maidav Knas teaches us that there's entirely no obligation to pay anything under these circumstances. So now we can understand. Once we had here a situation of a moed b'knas, and he doesn't have to pay the fine, what that means is that he will be totally exempt from any fine payment. Mos Rashmu bar Yitzchak, as Rashmu bar Yitzchak, it says in a braisa, kol shechai ben chayrim, chai be'eved, when one is chai, if his axe kills a regular person, he'll be chayiv if his axe kills a slave. Bein b'kayfer, bein b'meisa. This applies to kayfer or regarding to the death of an axe. Is the question kayfer be'eved mi'ika? There's never kayfer by an eved. Elalav, what must the brisa be referring to? Domin. And the brisa is saying that in any situation where one pays damages for the death of a free man, you would also have to pay damages for the death of a slave. Yet we're differentiating between the kaifer payment that the domim by a free man that was saying you would pay, and the domim by an eved was saying you won't pay. Ikadamri hu moisef lo v'hu mefarek lo, that he himself gave the answer. Ikadamri amalei rabbi, that rabbi gave the answer. Hochtan kasha chayv ben chayrim bekavona, in a case where kaifer is paid for killing a free person, that means that it was the axe killed with intent, based on the testimony of two edim. Kol shechayv ben chayr bekavona api edim kaifer chayv, in a similar situation beved knas, you would have to pay the shloshim shloved by eved. For kol shechayv ben chayr shloved bekavona api edim domim, and whenever one is payable, has to pay damages for the killing of a free man, that means the axe killed unintentionally with the testimony of two witnesses, chai be'eved shloi b'kavona api domin. He will have to pay damages for the killing of a slave with an axe killed unintentionally, but there were testimony of two witnesses. However, in a situation where we only are aware of this through the owner's admission, liability for the death of the slave does not parallel liability for the death of a free man. By a free man, there will be a payment, and by eved, there won't be a payment. Amalei Rava asks Rava, if we're saying now that whenever there is no kaifer payment, there is a domin payment, ihachi ish shloi b'kavona, if somebody set a fire unintentionally, that api edim, and there were witnesses that this happened, nishalim domim, he should have to pay damages. Ask the Gemara, and how does Rav indeed know that you don't pay damages? If you're going to say minatanan from a Mishnah that we've quoted, we're going to learn in Daf Samach Elef. If somebody set a fire to a stack of grain, and there was an animal tied to the stack, and a slave was near the stack, and the animal and the slave got burned, even though he was not bound to it, he was burnt with it, he's chayiv. The person is chayiv who lit the fire is obligated for the kid and for the stack, but he's not chayiv for eved because the eved should have run away. Eved kofsla, but in a case where the eved was tied to the stack, ugdi samachla, and the animal was near it, v'nisraf inimai, and even though and the animal was burnt, he potter the one who set up the fire is exempt, although his fire caused the death of the slave. He's not obligated to pay damages. Hamar Reish Lakish, says Reish Lakish, the reason he's potter is for a different reason. Because as Reish Lakish explained, it's talking about the case, Kigonshe Hitzis Begufish Levit, that he put a fire onto the Evid himself, and we apply the concept, Kim Labid Rabimene. But this Braisa doesn't at all teach us anything regarding payment of damages, and doesn't teach us that in a case that if he weren't put to death, he would have to pay for the damages. Ela Mahadatanya. The Gemara wants to prove that you don't pay for damim by Eish from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Chaim ve'esh mebar, there's a stringency by the mazik of Eish over the mazik of bar. She'esh me'edis lachal davar roiloi bein davar roiloi. Anything a fire burns, you're responsible for. Mash enkein bebar. By a bar, he's not chayiv for certain items. Vilu, she'esh mishalem mishalem kavana damim. That if it was done unintentionally, by Eish you would pay damim. Mash enkein bebar, like tani. So obviously, just like we see that there's no damim payment by bar, there's no damim payment by Eish. So that's not a proof. He left out certain halach, the other chumras over Eish, by Eish over bar, that were not included in the Braisa, as we'll learn in the Gemara. So this one was also omitted. Ella says the Gemara, the way to understand is as follows. Rava Gufi Ibuya Mibayle. Rava had the following question. Isha Shlebi Kavona. Somebody set a fire, Shlebi Kavona. Mimisham Dam Mamloi. Would he be responsible for damages or now? Mimri Nagab Shar, who the Kavona Misham Kaifer. Since by Shar, that if it was done intentionally, he pays Kaifer. Shlebi Kavona, if it was done unintentionally, Misham Dam. Aval Ishoi, the Kavona Lai Misham Kaifer, because the Kavona, there is no kaif for payment, because we apply the concept of kimle with the rabbinay. Shloi b'kavona, nami loy mishalam domim. Oidilma, kivin digabi shoru shloi b'kavona. Avgav deleka kaif for mishalam domim. Since by shofu was done unintentionally, there is no kaif for payment, but there is domim payment, gabi isha nami, we should say, avgav de kavona loy mishalam kaifer. That even though b'kavona you don't pay kaifer, perhaps shloi b'kavona, mi is mishalam domim, you should have to pay domim. And we don't know the answer, and therefore remains a taiku. Kiyasar Avdimi Amar Rav Yochanan, Kaifer. The Torah could have simply said Kaifer. Ma tam alayim im Kaifer. Why does the Torah use the words im Kaifer? The rabbis Kaifer shloi b'kavona, ke Kaifer b'kavona. To teach us that even though the animal is not put to death, if it killed unintentionally, there's still obligation to pay Kaifer. Amar Abaya, ask Tabai, if that's the way we're going to learn the Pesukim, Eved Nami, say the same thing by Eved, Ma Tamalim, the Torah says, Im Eved, Le Rabbis, Eved Shloi B'Kavona, Kevin B'Kavona, and to teach us that you have to pay Shloishim Shal Eved, even if the Shor killed the Eved unintentionally, V'chitei Ma'achin Nami, and if you'll suggest that maybe indeed, that is the Din, that the Shloishim Shal Eved are always paid, even when the Shor killed Shloi B'Kavona. Ask the Gemara, but didn't we just learn an Amun Aleph? V'amre Shlokish, Shor Shehemis Ha'Eved Shloi B'Kavona, Potom Shloishim Shkolim. Amalei, so he asks, Gavra Karamis, you're asking a question between Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish Taka will say that Shloishim Shal Eved is not paid when it happened unintentionally. Reb Yochanan will hold that it's paid, just like Kaifer is paid, both if it was intentional or unintentional, he'll hold that Shloishim Shal Eved is also always paid. And in fact, the Gemara proves that is the opinion of Reb Yochanan. Because also Ravan Amar Reb Yochanan, Eved, the Torah could have just used the word Eved, Ma Tamalayim Im Eved, the Rabbi is to teach us that Eved Shloi B'Kavona Ke Eved B'Kavona, and in all cases, if a Shor kills an Eved, you have to pay the Shloishim. Ask the Gemara, Ul Reish Lakish Nami Neima, should we say according to Reish Lakish, that just like he obviously does not subscribe to the limud of Eved im Eved Laidarish. Because according to Rish Lakish, we do differentiate whether the shor killed intentionally an Eved, the den shloishim is paid, versus when the Eved killed unintentionally, with a shor killed unintentionally, that you don't pay shloishim shel Eved. Shouldn't we say, kaifrim kaifrim nami Laidarish, and say the same, Amri Loi. Eved im Eved Loi Darish. Rish Lakish doesn't subscribe to the limud of Eved im Eved. Kaifer im Kaifer, that limud Darish, and therefore, although he says that if a shor killed an Eved unintentionally, you don't have to pay Shloshim Shel Eved, he will agree that if a Muad kills a person unintentionally, you still have to pay Kaifer. A Mishnah, ask the Gemara, why does he learn Kaifer im Kaifer, but not learn Eved im Eved? Answers the Gemara, Eved im Eved like Siv b'makom tishlumim. The pasuk of Eved im Eved was not said regarding the payment of the shloshim. It's just used as a pasuk that's introduction to the halacha of what happens when an ox kills a slave. So it can't be used to teach us dinim, rules regarding the tashlumim, that the tashlumim should be obligated even in a case where the shor killed unintentionally. However, kaifer kaifer, that pasuk is stated b'makom tashlumim. So it's coming to teach us a halacha in tashlumim, that not only is kaifer paid when the shor killed the person, when the muad killed the person intentionally, but it's even paid when the muad killed the person unintentionally.